Now, Austin's number one fantasy sports show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audiovisual Consultations.
What would you say you do here?
I am the eyes and ears of this institution, my friends.
A manager baseball team.
Little League?
Fantasy League.
He's worth a million in prizes.
It's our fantasy baseball draft.
Your fantasy what?
It's a fantasy baseball. I told you all about this. Got Matsui.
All your fantasy sports updates.
It's a numbers game.
Now, the host from the East Coast. Here's Wags.
That was pretty classy.
You know it. Hour number two, the Wagner Wire, 1049, 1019 AM, 1260. You stream it live at hornfm.com and on Twitch. You guys checking us out right now? I see it. A little bit of a delay, like what? Maybe 20 seconds. 20 seconds of a delay on the stream. That's good. It's good, though. Anyways, about 66 is your high for the weather today. Not that I'm a weatherman. Not that I'm Ricky Cody or anything. In just about a half hour, we will have Vic James come on from Spectrum Sports to give us a little bit of his NBA perspective to see who are the pretenders and who are the contenders in the NBA landscape. It is shifting just a little bit. We got, hey man, are the Wizards something? Is this a real thing? I mean, you got Russ Westbrook out here having a triple-double almost like he's reliving, you know, the 2019 season again, the 2018 season again. Is he making some magic happen with Bradley Beal out there on the East Coast?
I'm so tired of people saying or trying to discredit Russell Westbrook's productivity out there just because he hasn't won a ring, or people think he's just filling up the stat sheet. Like, I don't think
he
you get
hard,
how bad
dude.
Or how hard basketball is. Like, I don't really, people think, right. Like, they don't understand, like, how difficult it is for a guy that is 6'3" to have a stat line that says something like 25, 14, and 15, like with assists and rebounds. Like, that's not normal. And he's averaged, you know, triple-double in his career for 3 years. Now he goes over to Washington Wizards. People think he's completely washed.
And
because
he's still doing it.
Yeah, but, yeah, because people think that the Houston thing was his fault. Like, not the, you know, general manager that's over in Philly right now. It's not him that said, you know what? I think it's a good idea that we don't have any big man out here. Like, oh, I'm going to change the league.
You know what I said?
That was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You remember how mad I was when people were asking me? Like, we had people like Joe Houston thinking that was a good idea. And you know how, like, mad I was when, like, I'm over here thinking of the game. Yeah, I said that. People thinking, like, okay, the game is going to people like Kevin Durant, people like Paul George,
yeah.
You know, people like that, Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic. One of them's going to be MVP. So we want to get rid of big men to stop those guys?
Doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work like that. It just doesn't work.
It's an arms race. You have to find somebody bigger and faster.
Yeah,
or someone just as big and fast.
Yeah, that's like saying, you know what? I'm not gonna draft any tall wide receivers. We're gonna beat everybody with just speed. Once we get into the red zone,
5'10".
Who cares?
5'10", baby.
5'10". With nobody. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in a big 6'4". Wide receiver. I just don't. Or tight ends. Or throwing it to them in the red zone. We're going to change the game. Does that sound smart? Does that sound like a good
revolutionary
idea? Yeah. Does that sound like a good idea in any way? You would like to have a couple.
Yeah.
You might not, you know, you have to use them every time, but you want to have a couple just so maybe.
You need a Colin Johnson.
Yeah. Maybe the defense on the other side isn't expecting that.
Can we talk about how nice Colin Johnson is going to look next year?
Who?
Johnson. Colin Johnson. Wide receiver.
Go ahead.
I'm a little bit over my skis, but I think with the advent of, if we can assume that Trevor Lawrence is going to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I play Dynasty League. I play franchise.
Does Trevor
fantasy.
Lawrence care, though? Does he care enough? Did you see the article?
No.
Sports Illustrated, Trevor Lawrence went out and said, you know, I'm not everybody wants me to have this chip on my shoulder. And I, again, this isn't what he said, you know, quote for quote, but basically what I took out of what he said was he doesn't have the same chip on the shoulder that others have. And basically, if he were to leave the game today, it wouldn't be the end of the world. Like, he doesn't need the game. He doesn't really eat, sleep, breathe the game like people want him to. Like, that type of thing.
I don't think I can knock him for that. I think that just speaks to me that he's, you know, he's got his life.
He knows there's more to football.
Yeah, he knows there's more than just football. I think he values his life more than he values the gridiron, obviously.
Yeah.
Especially now with there's so much. I don't feel like back when I was playing football, there was that much animosity and I guess angst towards the sport, right? There wasn't so much hesitation and reluctancy because of CTE. You know, it just wasn't talked about that much. So I think you're seeing a lot of activists and people that really weren't about the sport anyways, you know, try and push a little bit and get, you know, get some angst going on towards, you know, towards football. And I think you're starting to see, you know, the next generation be like, yeah, I mean, football is cool, but you're seeing, I never thought that I would see Calvin Johnson, Megatron, retire at the top of his game. Like, I thought he still had a lot of good years. You're seeing dominant football players retire at sometimes a little, maybe.
Yeah, what happened to Andrew Luck was a really eye-opening.
How about that? Like, I was just getting ready to go there. You're seeing people like Luck, you know, retire when you think he's just coming back from, you know, another nagging injury, and then he's going to take the Colts, you know, that have one of the best offensive line, and then all of a sudden he's just like, yeah, I'm not.
Andrew
I'm
Luck not was back. Like, if he would have came back last year, they would have been one of the best teams in the league. They were good with Phillip.
Yeah,
like that's it's just nuts, man. And you're talking to a guy who's gonna have to convince his future wife if our son or I don't know daughter, because you know women are playing football now, if they want to play football, I'm gonna have to convince my, you know, wife to be that it's okay for them to do that, because she's so against it right now, which I understand. Dude. I completely understand. I cannot not, you know, knock her for that. I'm over here on, like, I feel like a hypocrite being a guy who comes in every day and talks about football and talks about sports. I feel like I would be a hypocrite because this is my life. This is what I'll be behind this mic for the rest of my life. So when when that time comes where I do have kids, like you have a son, and how hard was it for you to swallow that pride and say, you know what, and talk to, you know, your wife and say, you know what, I know this is a dangerous game, but I gotta let them play. Like, I would be a hypocrite to get behind this mic and talk about, you know, these players that we talk about every day, talk about the sport that we love every day, and not allow my kid to play it.
It was kind of the other way around. Like, Katie kind of talked me into letting him play.
Wow.
Like, I mean, and I'm doing the same thing with him in soccer, right? Like, I'm focusing so much. And this is where I think I struggle as a parent, right? Like, I try and vicariously live through my son, or I think that I know what my son needs more than he does,
yeah.
Which is just, that's just not cool. Like, but right now, I mean, him at 14, I do think, just from my observation, his sport is basketball. He's a hooper. Like that's, I mean, he's not a hitter in football yet. Like, he's aggressive, but... Like, he's not gonna really come up in the hole and lay the lumber. Like, he played outside linebacker and he made some really good hits, but that was his first year playing outside linebacker. Like, he's got to get a lot more reps in that.
Yeah.
Now he's playing soccer now. He looked great in his first time back, in his reunion back. He was off the field for two seasons, but you know, he's got a little bit of fire up under his ass, and he looks pretty good. But he went in a little bit too hard, and you know, he got a nice contusion on the outside of his foot, and it nice little knock, and it messed him up for AAU, you know, yesterday. Mm. I mean, he's still a ball. He had a pretty decent game, but you could tell that it was affecting him.
Right.
So, but then, I also know that, you know, I need to back off, because I remember how important it was for me to be an athlete and not just a one sport player. You know what I mean? And you know, a bruise on me is going to feel completely different to me now than what it does to him at 14. You know, I mean, he can take it. You know what I mean? But it was pretty tough. Like, I had to remember that it's his life and try not to live too vicariously through him. So.
See, I was lucky. Again, I'm a coach's son, if people don't know that already. But being a coach's son, even though my dad's a basketball coach, like, my dad, you know, coming up in the game when he was first starting out teaching and coaching, he coached football. So he at least knows certain principles to where he could teach me and I could go out there and be as safe as I could when I played.
Right.
And obviously the game has become a lot safer than it once was when, you know, guys were doing Oklahoma drill for like Pop Warner kids. Like, I don't think they're doing that anymore. I don't know. Maybe they are.
That stuff that was not, it was just nonsense.
It's probably not it good anymore. Nonsense, yeah, there's probably certain things that, you know, you just can't do anymore. And obviously the NFL, you see it, you know, in the game with guys getting thrown out just because they, you know, lunge forward a little bit. Even ones that we think aren't as, you know, outrageous, you still see guys getting the boot. And I, you know, you're pissed in the moment because sometimes it's, you know, your team, but then you have to be objective at the end of the day and think, okay, would I want my kid taking the worst of that just because I want to win a game, you know? And that's the very tricky part, like the very thin line, because, you know, do you remember, gosh.
I think that's why I got out of coaching, too.
Like, oh, yeah?
Seriously, like, I enjoyed coaching. Like, I enjoyed, you know, it's just a different evolution of the game, trying to play chess on a board and trying to get your pieces to actually move and trying to get that message to young athletes, young kids. It's pretty tough.
Yeah.
Trying to get them to listen to you. I mean, it's pretty tough. And you told me, too, like, hey, man, walk it back a little bit. My first practice with fourth graders, I'm sitting here trying to install the motion offense, and you're just,
yeah,
like,
what is the matter with,
like,
you?
Bro, just go find your best shooter.
That's what Chris Beard is running at Texas. Aren't you? You're insane. You're trying to teach that to fourth graders?
That's a huge
reason why Chris Beard got hired, is for the knowledge that he has with the motion offense and being able to get guys who might not have the talent as four or five-star players, and him installing an offense that's so good that it allows players who might not be as talented to thrive.
My brother, I was a rookie coach.
Yeah,
I was a rookie coach, and I took your advice. I took your advice well. I was just like, yeah, you know what? Everybody line up on the free throw line. Let's just see how many people can shoot. See how many people can dribble down to the, you know, how many people don't mess up. You know, I mean, we did the crawl, walk, run method, man. It worked out well, but I felt like I was way harder on my kid than anyone else.
That's just not fair to him,
right? But it was tough. It was tough trying to remove the emotion of coaching him and trying to coach the other kids.
Oh, for sure.
Like, that was, and I think that's why.
My dad even struggled with it. Like, my dad's one of the best coaches I know. He's big coach. When he coached me, I think that he struggled with the balance of, because I had like droughts. I had droughts of just like horrible, like 3 games with just bad shooting. I was just shooting horribly, but we'd be winning. And my dad would still be like so frustrated because he knew how much time I put into the game.
That's what it is.
And he was like, yo, what is Zay not getting? You know, like, what? There's certain. What's not clicking? He was like, I got 15 other players here. We're winning games. My son, he's making good passes, playing good defense. But that shot that we work on, and my dad's a pure shooter, so he takes a lot of pride on that jumper. So he was really in his head like, yo, what is this guy not doing? Why isn't these shots going in? Because something's not right. What's going on in his mind? And that's just, I think it's just natural. And I think once I got older, he, you know, it was easier for him to, you know, I guess take a step back.
Process it.
Yeah, because he understood that, okay, Isaiah, he does all of these other things well, then let me focus on that more and not focus as much on his shot and focus on the great pass he made, focused on the charge he just took.
Right, right.
Focus on the steals
the team
he just
play
got.
That he's doing,
yeah, yeah, once you start doing that, then, you know, my shooting started to become just better
because
I
went,
yeah, everything
right.
started to fall into place. So I think obviously it depends on the kid, it depends on the parent slash coach.
I don't know, man. That's why I just had to remove myself from the. I felt like I was taken away from Reed's game. You know what I mean? Like, we were winning, but I felt like I was taken away from, like, Reed couldn't be Reed.
I'm with that.
I just wanted to step away.
Takes a big man to notice that. The fact that you looked yourself in the mirror and said, you know what, maybe I'm the problem.
Dude, it's not about me. That's the thing. Like, it's not about me. And I didn't, like, and that goes back full circle to my wife. It's, you know, I didn't really get that until she put that seed in my head. And I had to let that grow a little bit. I had to let that blossom. But, yeah, it's not. Like, this, my shot's over. You know what I mean? I missed.
Well, I missed too.
I missed. This is his shot. Like, he's, you know, now it's his opportunity, man. So he can do with it what he wants, man. He's got a really good coach now, dude. And he was an athlete as well. He was a Division II or Division III athlete, so he knows what it takes. And
yeah.
if he's not getting the message from him, then, you know, I'll reinforce it at home, but I don't need to be involved. I don't need to be interfering at practice. You know, that's another thing too. Don't distract your kids. And this isn't trying to be like a Sunday sermon. I'm not trying to do a Sunday sports sermon here. Zay and I aren't trying to do that. But
you don't want to go Varsity Blues and be like the dad sitting outside practice.
Hey, you're going. Hey, Johnny, what'd you do, Johnny? No, we're not. I'm telling you, you shouldn't. It's unhealthy. It's just unhealthy, man. And that's something that I was doing in the first part of my, you know, my kid's life and up until, I guess up until about 2 years ago, man. No, let's be honest, man. Up until about last year, I was still up in his head, bro. I was still up in his head, man. But you got to let them do it. You got to let them be the hoopers. You got to let them be the athletes and let them play, man. It's their life. And I think you're really distracting them from the game, man. That's a good conversation. That's why I'd still like to have your dad on and talk about this.
I'll get him on sometime.
Perspective of the coaching evolution, man.
I'll get him on sometime.
That's why I walked away, man, just a little bit. Not that I was having a tremendous career in coaching or anything, but, I mean, it was just different. I wanted to separate myself. I wanted to actually watch my kid and actually enjoy him playing sports and not, I guess, direct so much
Man, true story here
attention.
About my pops. So around the 90s, you know, my pops was getting his feet wet at Bowie High School, where he still is at today. Obviously, he had offers to go to other places. And, you know, before he went to Bowie, he was at San Marcos High School. Before that, he was at Southwest Texas coaching. I think he was the youngest men's basketball coach in NCAA history at the time.
Go on,
I think he was in his 20s as the head coach at Southwest Texas, now Texas State. So in the 90s, he was offered the Baylor job, and he turned it down.
What?
Because, one, it's Waco in the 90s. So think about the resources that they had then. Two, he could, like, feel the shadiness going on at Baylor. Like, obviously a lot has happened from then to now in Waco. So he, like,
that must have been right before Scott Drew got there.
Yeah, it was way before Scott Drew. It was early 90s. Drew came around 2000 something. But yeah, he was not with it. And he wanted to raise his kids in the ATX. Like, he'd rather be around his kids. He didn't want to recruit, you know, or anything like that. So he, at the time, had Coach Rodney Terry, if people don't know, as his assistant at Bowie. All
right.
And when he declined the Baylor job, he told the athletic director, hey, I might not want the job, but take a look at this guy, Rodney Terry.
How about that, man? What a pioneer, dude.
And that's how Coach Terry took off and got into the college ranks, and now he's back at Texas as the associate head coach.
Full circle,
under
man.
Chris Beard.
That's pretty awesome.
Isn't that amazing?
A good story, dude.
Isn't that amazing, bro?
I got chills just a little bit. That's pretty good.
That's nuts, because I was talking to my pops, you know, the other day just about Coach Terry being back and stuff. And obviously it took my dad back to, you know, just memories of the 90s. And he found pictures, those pictures I posted on Twitter with, you know, him and Coach Terry wearing the MC Hammer pants and, you know, just a different time, man. Yeah.
That was real. Like, we all wore those pants.
Oh, everybody wore them. Everybody wore them, man. I was only 2 years old.
Parachute pants?
Yeah, Steve Harvey made a living from making suits about those pants.
They did.
For sure. For sure. So, you know, it's crazy just how life comes full circle like that. And, you know, just how long my pops has been in the game, how many people that, you know, he's helped. And, you know, man, he doesn't like taking credit for those things. I'll big my dad up all the time until, you know, my last breath, because that's what, because he won't do it. He's a modest person.
Sure, man. Cool. He doesn't have to do it.
No, I will do it. Yeah. I will do it for him. And with that being said, there's a new arena being made at Bowie. It better be named after CC.
Good drop.
That's all I got to say.
Good little drop right there.
That's all I
got
to say. AISD, if y'all are listening, anybody in AISD, let's make that happen. It's only right. Not the court, the whole arena.
Got a texter, Zay, that comes in here. I don't know if you're following the diamond right now. I'm not sure how big of a seam head you are there, man. But Wags got a question. You know, what do you think about the slow start about the Yankees? Should, you know, Yanks fans be concerned?
Yep.
You think so? A little bit, yeah. I mean,
it's too much money for y'all to be this at the bottom.
Well, look here. So usually in the first month, I usually say that, you know, don't pay too much, you know, testament or credence to, or you know, don't put too much attention into the first month of baseball, because usually the pitchers and catchers have the advantage, right? Because they report, you know, they report a month early. They usually get going back into the game before any of the other player or any of the other hitters do. Now the hitters, you know, they stay trained up and, you know, they go to the cage and everything like that, but it's not, they're still not putting ball to bat, you know, with coming out of the pitcher's hand and getting the actual gameplay or game time down. So usually I think that the pitchers have most of the advantage going into the first part of major league play. When you have Gerrit Cole as your best arm, right? And that's where most of the money's dialed up in, is Yankees hitters and one illustrious pitcher of Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole's only out there he's only on the bump one in every 5 days, right? You're going to get a win. Well, actually, might not, because wins aren't guaranteed. Like, Gerrit Cole can go out there. I talk about it all the time. Gerrit Cole can go out there and spin a gem, right? He can go out there and throw you 7 shutout frames, you know, get 10 strikeouts, double-digit strikeouts, and nobody touches him. And then all of a sudden you give way and acquiesce to your bullpen, and now you blow the game, and a team like the Orioles best you 2-0 or 2-1 maybe. That's tough. That's tough to get in there, and especially when your bats aren't hitting. And that's what happens. The bats usually don't wake up until maybe the second month of baseball, or at least just from my observation. But I think the Yankees will be fine. They got too much talent, too many big bats. Once that lumber starts getting warm and starts popping, yeah, pinstripes will be back on top. It's funny because the Red Sox were actually picked to finish last in the division. They're at the top. The Orioles are supposed to pick the Orioles are picked second to last. They're second in the division. I don't know, man. I think this mirror is going to flip and get back to the preseason ranks. That's for sure. But yeah, good question there, man. Yeah, we're going to take a break on the other side, man. We'll come back and get a West Coast perspective. We're going to Spectrum Sports' Vic James. He's going to join us there and talk a little bit about the NBA landscape, the contenders, and the pretenders. It's the Wagner Wire with Isaiah Collier and Adam Wagner on 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. Stream to Sucker live on HornFM.com and Twitch.
Special technique of shadow boxing.
Oh, that's just good producing right there. I thought it was going to stop the drop.
No, it's instrumental.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he comes out.
Yeah, he hot. Comes out. He comes out flaming, bro. Yeah. Oh my God, my heart just dropped. Oh,
you thought we're gonna get kicked off, huh?
Just a bit. Yeah, but this is what I was talking about, where he just starts ripping it up, ripping it up. All right. So those of y'all that don't know, go to the Genius album by the GZA. All right, and this is Liquid Swords. This is Liquid Swords.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is Shadowboxing off Liquid Swords. All right, let's go to the Vaqueros. Man, shook. Got me shook for a second there, man. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline right now. Welcome on my man, Vic James from Spectrum Sports. Sports producer, but he does a lot more than just produce. Put some packages together, too. Doing a lot of good things over there at Spectrum Sports. What's going on, man? Welcome to the show. Happy Sunday, man.
How's it going? Yeah, I thought y'all were going to kick off the air.
Dude, did you? You know, because you know exactly what comes out, Vic. You know exactly how he starts.
On the radio.
Dude, what is they doing? Yeah, coming in hot, bro. So, how you doing, man?
How you guys doing?
Doing good, man. Good to hear your voice again, dude. Been a while, but you always got to get some West Coast perspective on there. We was talking about last hour, Vic. Usually I have a lot of East Coast perspective, but got to get some West Coast perspective here going on, especially talking about the NBA. So what do you think about the NBA landscape shaping up? You know, who's the contenders and who's the pretenders, my man?
You know what? Like, I try to stay away from the pretenders line so much, but, like, with the West, for sure, like, we're going into the heart of it, and, you know, I'm a big Lakers guy, so Lakers are coming back. I think the Lakers are going to come back strong down the stretch of the season. I think them getting Andre Drummond was a huge lift of spirits. They finally have some size that's, like, able to be mobile and protect the paint, so I think that was something we were definitely missing before we signed him. And the Clippers, man, the Clippers are hot. They look good, and I think that they're going to be a lot more formidable in the playoffs this year, as long as they're able to stay healthy. If Serge Ibaka stays healthy, I think they'll be right where they want to be. The Suns, they lost to the Spurs last night, but they're still looking pretty good, and we beat the Jazz, but the Jazz are – I mean, they're the Jazz. I just think when it comes to the playoffs, especially in the West, it's going to be who's ready for the moments, because we have a lot of, like, especially the top three teams right now. The Nuggets obviously are not going to have Jamal Murray anymore, so – I don't see them really making too much noise in the playoffs, but obviously you never know because they have Nikola Jokic and all that. But I think that the Jazz and the Suns, they have a whole bunch of people that have never – a whole bunch of guys that have never done it before. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle those matchups in the playoffs. And if we end up going – getting an F4 and have to play, you know, the Jazz in the second round, I don't think that's something that they necessarily would like to see, is LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Andre Drummond, the way he's been playing against their lineup. I just don't think that they match up well with us in that matchup. And Pop's got the Spurs, man. They're hanging off for dear life. I don't know if anybody in that 9-7-8-9 range is going to be one to see Steph. I think that's really looking like Dame was down the stretch last year in the bubble. I mean, at last, like, 38.4 some points a game the last four or five games. And last night, obviously, even though they lost, he had 40, you know, like, over 40. So, I think on the West, those are the teams to really look at. And in the East, man, I don't know. Like, I'm not a Brooklyn Nets guy. I really when they get James Harden back, they're going to be a lot better as a surprise to me. He's been a big glue for them, making sure the offense stays fluid and not as stagnated, which is something I never would thought I'd hear myself say about James Harden led offense, but he's bought in, and they're looking good, but I really have qualms about how they handle size and how they handle, like, tough defensive coach teams. And if they play Philly, if they end up getting a match against Philly or Milwaukee, I don't know how that looks, even though they're so offensively formidable and they can play defense better than I think a lot of people give them credit for. They really struggle to take care of the ball and getting rebounds and things like that against teams that have solid defenses, which are things that don't win championships usually. So, I think this next few weeks will really figure out who's going to present themselves as the top four or five teams. But I really think it goes back to probably the Lakers, the Suns, maybe the Clippers and the Nets and stuff like that. And then also Milwaukee and Philly. Those are the teams that are going to end up making runs. And honestly last night, like, Boston, you know, look, man, that Jason Tatum kid is like –
oh man,
he can hoop. He's all right.
I know they're a five seed right now, but I don't see that. They have a healthy Kemba Walker. They randomly added Jabari Parker, and he's still a certified walking bucket to me. So what scares me with them again is their size. But they got a lot of young guys like Robert Williams and people who can hold down the fort inside the paint. So it's really going to be interesting the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, Vic, that's interesting that you talk about the Boston Celtics, because Jason Tatum, I don't know if you heard, he talks about how he's carrying an inhaler around, and the fact that he's, you know, using his inhaler because he had COVID and he's still dropping these numbers is absolutely bananas. Let me ask you this, because you're a huge NBA fan, and there's been a lot of commotion about the play-in tournament with the 7 through 10 seeds, and I like it just because I like change and I like basketball, but I could definitely see how if I was a part of any of those organizations that were to make the play-in tournament, I would not like it at all, because it seems like everything I did during the regular season is irrelevant, you know, if I lose those two games in the play-in. So how do you feel about that, the play-in tournament?
I mean, as a fan, like you said, as a fan of basketball, I love it. You know, I think the teams, like you said, that everybody loves it if you are a fan, or if you're the 9 or 10 seed, or the 11 seed, or the 12 seed. But if you're the 7 or 8 seed in a traditional format, I'm sure you probably wouldn't love it, especially, like I said, right now it's the Mavs, the Grizzlies, the Warriors, and the Spurs. That's 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, and you notice how the Mavs, they're the ones saying they hate it. They hate it the most.
Yeah, out of all those teams, I would hate to see the Warriors, like right now. Like, if the Warriors are winning 2 games, even if I'm Dallas, or the way that Steph Curry's been playing, like, I don't want to see Golden State and give them a chance to take the spot that I, like you said, earned during the season. But I mean, to me, that gives you more incentive. Like, the West is tough every year, so that's going to be one of those things. Like, especially in the Western Conference, so, like, it's already hard enough to make the playoffs in the West, and you're going to add another layer to it. Like, I completely understand the gripe, but I'm also just like, hey, don't be a 7 through 10 seed, or, like, you know what I mean? Like, just be a 6 seed, and then you don't have to worry about it. You know, make sure that, to me, it puts more incentive on the regular season than it normally would have in years past, where you can kind of flow through the last 2 weeks of the season if you have, like, you know, 1 or 2 game lead on those seedings, and then you don't have to really worry about, like, you know, now it's all the pressures on the AC. But now, like, if you're, you know, the Mavericks, for instance, like, they, you know, Luka's got to play. Like, right. he can't. He's never been a kid. Like, he's young. He's never been a kid that really, like, you know, takes nights off or anything. I don't want to, you know, insinuate that or anything. But now the games become so much more important towards the end of the season, which is something as a fan that I do love. Like, I don't want to see especially after the bubble game last year, it doesn't. Like, how they played, how things played out in the last, like, really the last two days, the last day, right? Like, last day of the bubble regular season, it was still,
Phoenix, like, was still going after,
they still had a legitimate chance to make the playoffs. Now, with the play-in, like, even for me, like, the Pelicans and the Kings, like, even though the Pelicans probably are not going to make too much noise in the last few weeks of the season, I think that Pop is going to figure out a way to hold on to this 10 spot for dear life.
Because you know the NBA is trying to get Zion in any way they can.
100.
As an NBA fan, I want to see Zion in the playoffs in some capacity, right? Like, even if it's just the play-in, you know, to give that little sense of, like, you know, playoff basketball for him, and see him in that setting would be dope. But, like, yeah, I love it. Just, to, like, long story short, I think that, like, the gripes are legitimate, but then it's just like, it comes down to just like in the East too, like with the Bulls, like, I would love to see Zach LaVine in some type of playoff format. You know what I'm saying? Like,
especially with Vucevic. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Especially now they got Vucevic and all that. So, like, Caris LeVert and Malcolm Brogdon and Sabonis and Miles Turner on the page. Like, I want to see these guys, not just, you know, balling in regular season. Like, I want them to still have a chance to play competitive basketball that means something, even if they don't actually jump all the way up to 8 or jump all the way up to 8 and end up making it into the actual playoffs. It's still, for fans, it's really important. And also, I think for those players, like, I think it gives them an extra incentive to, like, have more competitive basketball.
100. Hey, Vic, let's go back to the West real quick, because you brought up a really good point, because no Jamal Murray in Denver means trouble for Jokovic. I don't even think the Joker can be playing pranks on other teams anymore, because it's gonna get serious, man. It's gonna get real serious. You actually think Denver can drop that far and get out of the eighth spot?
I don't know about – I don't think that. They're still a really solid basketball team and they're really well coached. I don't think that they go if they
– But it definitely opens the door for other squads.
Yeah, it definitely does. Like, for us especially, like, I think us maybe flipping 4 and 5 might be – because right now they're still 3.5 up on Portland, so I doubt that they even go as far as the 6. But, I mean, you never know. But, like I said, like, Jokic is a MVP candidate. They still have Mike Malone. Mike Malone's still their head coach. He's a very, very good head coach in this league. And I think that they still did a lot. So they were – to me, they were the scariest and most untalked about team when they got Aaron Gordon. I thought that completely changed the trajectory of their team to where I thought that they were going to be a whole problem in the playoffs because the kid is 6'9", 6'10"-ish or whatever. He can handle the ball. He can shoot threes. He's a perennial rebounder, and he plays very solid defense. And he can guard 3 to 4 positions, probably 5 positions roughly. So, like, I thought that was a big pickup for them. But then, losing Jamal, obviously, when they need a perimeter bucket, it's going to be harder to come by without him there. But they still have, you know, the Will Bartons, the like I said, Aaron Gordon. They still got Jokic. They have Michael Porter Jr., who still, like, I think now is going to have more leeway to kind of do his own thing. And that kid is another, like, I don't know when the light's going to come on for him, but I think when it does, I'm scared for the league because that kid is just ridiculously talented. And before he got hurt in college, he was the, you know, number one pick, like, for, like, 3 or 4 years. He was very much like Zion, where everybody that followed high school basketball was like, oh, yeah, this kid's going to be the number one pick when he goes to the draft kind of thing. So I think that they'll still be around that 4 or 5 range. I do think that once the Lakers get Anthony Davis and LeBron back, we'll probably make a little mini burst and overtake that spot unless we, like, you know, fumble some games like we have done in the past. But I don't think that they do much in the playoffs just because they don't have Jamal Murray. And I could be wrong. Like, I mean, look, I didn't right. make the Western Conference Finals last year. So they might be able to figure out a way to beat some of these teams. I just think that when you don't have that guy you can just, you know, roll the ball to, like Jamal Murray, who's already done it. Like, he knows in the playoffs that he can go and get a bucket whenever he feels like it because he did it last year. You know what I mean? So I think that's a very underrated aspect a lot of times when it comes to playoff basketball. But Jokic is going to really show us, like, you know, he has already.
He's going to have to now. Yeah, he's going to really have to put it on the back.
He already has in the past, but he's really going to have to show up in order for them to make any type of noise.
You know, Vic, your Lakers, it seems like they're just chilling and letting, you know, AD and LeBron get healthy. And obviously the Andre Drummond move was huge, especially going into the postseason.
They're letting them rest.
Yeah, they're letting them chill. They're letting them chill, which they should. They had a quick turnaround from the bubble. But how sold are you with the Phoenix Suns? Like, they're just, I like the way they play. I love Chris Paul. I love Devin Booker. He's the 5th fastest to, what, 9,000 points after, like, all of these Hall of Famers like Melo and LeBron. But there's just something missing to me. Am I crazy, or what do you think?
Vic, let me expand one. I'll add to this question, too. It looks great right now, but we've seen this before. Zay and I were just talking about this. Are we worried and just a little bit reluctant with the Suns because Chris Paul could break?
I mean, that's a good enough reason to think that. You know, is he going to – this year so far, though, he's relatively stayed uninjured. So, like, it hasn't been a year where, you know, like the last year in Houston where he had been bothered by hamstring problems all year. And then it came back again, in the Western Conference Finals, right? Or semifinals was that year. I can't remember exactly. But yeah, it's DeAndre Ayton, man. Like, that's, like, it comes back to me with them is DeAndre Ayton. Like, what are you going to get from him when it's money time, right? Like, he has all the talent in the world. He's basically a walking double-double. But, you know, is he going to be able to give you 15, 20 points on a given night in a playoff series? Is he going to step up? And he's shown this year that he can. I'm personally, like, just as a Laker fan and as a basketball fan, I'm more scared of the Suns than I am the Jazz.
And really?
Not, Yeah, and it's not because of any other reason that I just don't trust Rudy Gobert. Like, I think that Rudy does a lot of really good things for them. I think that he's a necessary piece for a championship roster. I just think that when you compile all of those things together, like, I can't remember a time when arguably your second best player on your team, who is a big man, has no offensive game. And I think that's a problem in the playoffs. Like, if you're arguably your second, because you can make the argument that it might be Mike Conley or Joe Ingles or like a variation of those two players, or even Jordan Clarkson at times. But I've seen teams like that before where they're one of their best players is a big man who can't make free throws, who can't shoot 15-foot jump shots, and has no post game at all. And they have a microwave guy off the bench. They have other guys that present quasi matchup problems. But I have just looking at the Lakers roster, we can guard them better than we can guard matchup-wise than the Phoenix Suns. We have nobody can guard Devin Booker. We have guys that can sizably match up to Donovan Mitchell, Michael Conley Jr. Joseph Ingles is a very good basketball player, but he's not very, like, fleet-footed anymore, and he's a liability on defense. So, like, the Phoenix Suns play really good defense, and that's going to keep them – Monty Williams has them playing, like, lights out this year as far as on the defensive end, and then moving the ball and running high pick and rolls and things like that with Chris Paul. And the thing that they do a lot better, I think, than even when it's time in Houston, is that they have a very good tit for tat going on with him and Devin Booker, where they like, okay, here, now you go. Okay, now I got it. Now. And he's so worried about facilitating, I think he's exerting his body less on the offensive end as far as like trying to make too much happen for himself or even going above and beyond to make things easier for others. It just kind of comes natural within the flow of their offense. So I personally am more scared of them and the Clippers than I am of Utah. And it might be just a little bit of Utah shade, being a Laker fan for so long that there's a little rivalry there. But like I love Donovan Mitchell. I love Quinn Snyder. I love the way that team looks on paper, and even when I watch them, they look good. But I think that their depth is overrated, and I don't think that when it comes down to it, like if Rudy Gobert got to like get you a bucket, like I don't think that that's gonna work, and it might not have to. But that's just how I look at that thing. At those things.
Speaking with Vic James, he is the sports producer for Spectrum News One, and you can find him on the Wagner Wire every now and then. But he's one of the obligatory go-tos for hoops, man. We didn't get a chance to talk about, you know, collegiate hoops, but the dude, I believe you are a UCLA fan, correct?
I'm big time, man.
All right, man. So is this real quick within 2 minutes, because we're coming up on the break? Is this for real? You guys got some talent coming back too?
Yeah, I think that we have a bright future. I think that everybody's coming back from what I understand, where I'm sitting, and
Hold on, Vic. I don't mean to cut you off. You telling me Johnny Juicy is coming back after that performance that he had in March Madness? That guy's coming back.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I understand and what I've read, that they're all coming back.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he left. I still think that Johnny has another level he can get to, and I think that obviously, like, if they are saying like, oh, you're gonna be in the first round, like, hey man, go get your money, like, I'm never gonna tell a kid to stay in school if he doesn't have to. But if he's not a first round pick, like, Johnny Juzang could be a lottery pick. Like, he could be in the top 15. That's if what I'm he saying. Stays another year.
Yeah, you mentioned that you're scared of Devin Booker. That's who he reminds me of. When he was hitting those step-back jumpers and just shooting over the top of guys, like, yep. He has an NBA game that, you know, especially against that Gonzaga team, they weren't expecting that at all, man. I like his game a lot.
Very steady basketball player, man. He's never rushed. All of our guards are like that. He's obviously 6'5", 6'6", so – it does help him out in those situations, but I'm not going to lie, man, there's some times this year watching them, I was like, Johnny, like, what are you doing? Because he does that. Like, he has games where he could, even during the regular season, those games, he could not be stopped. And there are other games where he couldn't find, you know, bottles he fell out of the boat kind of thing. So I think that even if he doesn't come back, like, just like UT has, we've tapped into the transfer portal and got some guys that can come in and kind of reset our lineup and give us some more veteran leadership and stuff. And Mitch Cron is the real deal. I remember me and my dad were talking about it when he got hired, and my dad hated it. He did not like the move and all this stuff. And I was saying, hey man, like I'm a big Ben Howland guy. Ben Howland, for obvious reasons. I mean, he got us to, you know, several Final Fours. Yeah. So like I am a defense first guy no matter what. And I think that a lot of times when it comes to any basketball, like defensive minded head coaches tend to, especially in college, I should say, tend to have more success. And Mick Cronin, I knew about him at Xavier, and I knew that he was a defensive first guy. So I was really excited, especially coming from a Steve Alford program that played no defense. I think that a lot of times, like if you keep the games between 80, 75, 75 to 80 points in college, or you're going to win a basketball game more times than not. So he'd always had that type of pedigree when he was in the A-10 and then Big East and stuff. And I think that they're going to continue to recruit kids and get kids to come back to the area that maybe left when Alford was there. And I think that it's one of those things that once UCLA is seen in those things, in that limelight, they always tend to like get guys to come. Like it's a weird dynamic shift that usually happens at UCLA where, you know, guys will go away and then, you know, we'll go on a run in a tournament, and then all of a sudden they start getting the local kids again. So that's where it's going to come back to, like getting all these guys that transfer back from, you know, the East Coast and, you know, the Midwest and things like that in the South, and then getting the kids that stay locally, because LA is just, there's just so much basketball talent.
Yeah, loaded.
And the fact, and we usually, you know, we have another good recruiting class coming this year. So, yeah, man, sky's the limit.
All right, brother. That's all the time we got for you today, man. But we'd love to have you back on the show in a couple of weeks, man, for sure.
Anytime, just let me know.
All right, man. Vic James, thanks, sports Vic. Producer with Spectrum News no problem, 1. You can find him on Twitter at Vic James. It's that easy, man. But that Vic is with a C and that James is with a Y, man. Does it cool, does it wild, man. All right, don't go nowhere. It's the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. Streaming live at hornfm.com and Twitch. Welcome back to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. Streaming live at hornfm.com and on Twitch. Going to get up to about 66 today, a little partly cloudy here on April 18th. Nice little Sunday here. Happy you're spending with us your Sunday mornings here, at least 3 hours, 9 to noon. Get on out there, though. Get a bike ride in. Get a swim in. Do something that's not going to let you recluse into your house, right?
Swimming. It's 58 degrees outside.
Yeah, I mean, you can go to a quarry, right? Maybe not a quarry, but isn't there Barton Springs? That's what I'm talking about.
That's that WPS, though.
There you go, Robert Redford.
It's too cold to begin in any type of water right now.
You think so?
Hell yeah. Y'all are tripping. What?
Oh, isn't it naturally 70 degrees, though?
What?
Yeah, Barton Springs. It's always one temperature.
I never knew that.
Urban legend?
I felt like in the summer, maybe, but yeah, that water's cold. I barely get in the Barton Springs water.
Dude, that denies physics. Like, I'm smarter than that. I got an A in chemistry. I got an A in physics, too.
Look at you.
That's a strong flex, and that was on, yeah, that was on the 48.
That wasn't even a humble flex at all.
That was on the 48. I am nerdy about
Snoop
my science,
Daniel
dude.
Flex, ATX stuff dude, right there.
He's got a big, he puts that bicep out there, flex. Bro.
Yeah, that's Schwarzenegger during his bodybuilder days flex, bro. Like
you got to have the full circumference of the circle. Yeah.
Go Chargers.
Lou, you got to back like nobody's ever seen before. Dude, watch that one. They said that they get down, they get cloudy up in Pumping Iron. So he just messes with Lou Ferrigno the entire time. He just messes with his head. I love you, Lou. Let me lift, Arnold. Lou Ferrigno gets all mad and all jealous at him. Yeah, man, good first hour, dude, or a good second hour as well, too. Man, it's just
flies
flying
by.
By
it
dude.
Flies by.
Whoa! It hour flies two by, dude. Done, dude.
When you're having fun. It flies by. I'm not gonna lie.
All
dude.
Right, so look, man, I can't even. I really enjoy this. Like I love the producing touch. I really do, man. But I do miss Sam.
I miss Sammy too.
This is
this is kind of tight. But,
I am a producer at heart. At the end of the day, your boy knows the board.
Yeah.
And you threw me that lob. You're like my Gary Payton to my Jason Kidd. Like, you remember how Jason Kidd, like, looked up to GP?
Yeah, I got you.
And, like, GP, like, gave him all the ropes back in Oakland. Back in the day, like, GP was already in the league, and Jason Kidd was, you know, becoming that Bay Area legend before he went to Cal Berkeley.
I hope I don't lose my mind a little bit, though. Like
GP, you think GP lost his mind?
A little bit. Just a little bit. Just a smidge, man.
When?
Oh, towards year two, Laker years.
But then he got that mind back. He won that ring in Miami.
Yeah, that helped a lot.
That helped a lot.
That helped smooth things out a lot.
Yeah.
But GP was wilding out for a little while, man.
That's how he played.
The glove was in a lot of people's bags, dude. I don't think I'd ask another dude for his shoes. I'm just saying.
Did he do that with Mike? Who did he do that with?
He asked Michael Jordan for, or at least that's what they proclaim. He asked Jordan to sign his shoe.
Like during the finals, right?
Yeah, dude.
That's not a good look. That's not a good look. That's not a good look.
Oh, man. Oh, Barton Springs fluctuates between 68 to 72 degrees for all you nerds out there. We got a texter chiming that in. Oh, I can't see the other part. Computers. Producing right there. That's just what you just did. That's a smooth
Isn't
little
that
beat
smooth?
Right there. That's some smooth producing. All right, man. We're out of time for hour number two. Don't go nowhere. On the other side, we'll pick up this conversation. Plus, the final four for the fast food. It's next. The road to the final four. It's the Wagner Wire. 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Streaming live at hornfm.com. Every hour brought to you by Tom McKay and Audio Visual Consultations.